Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 GI path, or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
Hey, hey, sports fans, welcome to the Wednesday night edition. Yes, I am in studio tonight. Been trying to do a better job of lining up some great guests for you down the road, so we'll worry about that later, but I know we're going to have some exciting ones coming up for you in this fall. Haven't really delved too deeply into the NFL yet. I think our one big interview, of course, was with Ryan O'Callaghan. But I'm excited also about the start of the NBA season. I know there's a lot of fans of the Warriors and the Kings up here. So we'll hear a little bit from the Warriors practice today. We'll hear that a little bit later on. Some news about Klay Thompson coming out this week that is not necessarily good. Of course, I am a baseball guy, and it is baseball season, folks. It is World Series time. Game 2 is going on right now, so you don't have to turn the channel, turn the dial, or tune in. I guess you could watch it in the background, and I'll let you know. But anyway, Game 2 going on right now, and what I think is going to be a really fun baseball series. Some of the top young players in the game between the Astros and, of course, the Nationals. And the first time that the Nationals have been in the World Series, their franchise was in, of course, Montreal, the Expos before that. And so when they say that it's a first time for Washington to be in the World Series, they mean that franchise, because back way back in Walter Johnson era, way back when, of course, the Washington Senators were in the World Series. They were also absolutely horrible for many, many years in their later existence. In fact, were so bad that the Senators moved to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and became the Twins, and have been a really neat franchise since moving there. Harmon Killebrew, of course, one of the great. I met him a couple of times and have an autographed ball from him. The late killer, Harmon Killebrew. Think about guys that probably could have played in any era. Anyway, so we're going to talk baseball, and I've roped Rick Bassetti into calling in, and he's probably on his way. He's been helping out with an organization's having a fun night out at the ball yard tonight, so he's going to be calling in. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball, his experience in the postseason, and how he watches the game. It certainly has changed, and Rick always has a few good stories there. Of course, there is another big story going on for baseball fans of Northern California. Still no replacement for Bruce Bochy. A lot of teams will wait until after the World Series. Major League Baseball says, hey, if you could, please don't make any announcements on game days and so on. Although the Cubs, although the Angels did announce that they were getting Joe Maddon, and you've seen a couple of changes, but those were on off days. I think the bottom line is the Giants are using, whether or not they're using that as an excuse, whether or not it's part of their due diligence. But here's the latest that I've heard anyway, that Gabe Kapler is still the guy, baseball-wise, baseball insiders want. Now, he was in player development with the Dodgers. Of course, he's a former player, along was manager of the Phillies, and a 500 manager. Yeah, not a great manager, but then again, did he have great talent to work with? So it's hard to say. He worked under Farhad Zaidi, the Giants general manager, when Zaidi was with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And there's some criticism. In fact, there was a very interesting article about some of the criticism of him, of Kapler out there, and I'm going to tell you all about it. It's written by Ann Killian, and Ann in the Sporting Green and the San Francisco Chronicle kind of talks about why Gabe Kapler is a bit of a problem in the managerial search because San Francisco, as you know, is long time. They have been a franchise that has prided itself in its latter stages of, being a fair playing ground, taking women's rights seriously. They had, I believe, had the first female public address announcer as a full-timer. I believe that's off the top of my head. I know she does a great job. But, it's not a city where questions of domestic violence and sexual assault and how things are handled can be put under the rug. Anyway, she has a very good article that came out just yesterday, in fact, about Kapler and how he handled when he was an assistant underneath Zahidi when he was in the organization. He was in player development, and there had been some reports about allegations brought by women against players in the Dodgers farm system and how it was handled. And so she's just throwing these out there, showing, hey, is this a sign of something? And interesting read. I don't think that, it wasn't about him per se being involved in any of those things, but it was how the organization handled it. And I really heard anybody ask Kapler about it directly. But I certainly would be interested in hearing if he does indeed get that job, because I'm sure they would have to have grown from whatever that experience was. The other guys, I think you'd have to say that Will Venable, longtime major leaguer, and believe Will spent some time with the Giants. He's first base coach with the Cubs. He's probably the next guy in line. They have interviewed at least five or six players six people for the job that my understanding is they have interviewed Hensley Mullins, who I think is from Curacao. And, he has been a real team guy. And I just think that I would love to see him get a shot at it. Are they just giving him the interview so that it's, they're doing the EOE thing, which I just think would be ridiculous because he deserves the interview. He deserves the chance. He's not managed, but he's learned under Bochy, and he's been on his bench for years. So I would love to see Hensley get a chance at it. He was their batting instructor, and then he's been an assistant coach or a bench coach. Other guys with major league backgrounds that you've heard that they've interviewed, Ron Wotus, Mark Kotze, I mentioned it last week, I believe it was last week in my interview with Jake Downey, that Mark Kotze is an interesting one, former Cal State Fullerton player, won the Silver Spikes Award. They ought to be platinum. He was the best college baseball player maybe ever. And went on to have a very long career in the major leagues as a player. He is a very quiet guy, and I think that's the one thing that could hurt him. He's very good on camera, but he's the opposite of Boach in terms of being personable and being, wide open and things like that to talk. So the Royals have a guy named Pedro Grifol. I'm not familiar with him, but supposedly they have interviewed him. Matt Quatraro has also been interviewed, and I have not met any of those guys, but that is from the Mercury News reporting, and those are all ones that I have heard before. Matt Quatraro, Rays bench coach, quality control coach for the Royals. Pedro Grifol, and of course Kotze, who I know and have interviewed many times, Kapler, Wotus, Mullins, all those guys. So none of these guys are necessarily the biggest name is the guy that would be Gabe Kapler. And is Kapler in one of those positions where he just needs a better ball club to work with? Well, we'll just have to wait and see. But World Series, of course, continuing. Washington took the first game, a 5-4. Game two underway, 2-2. Both those star pitchers, Strasburg and Verlander, have given up a couple of runs. Hey, that's the fun part of World Series. Forget stats and all that stuff because you go up against the best, and the best get a chance to see you, and the best get a chance to study you, and it becomes a completely different game. And then you just have to see these guys simply go out there and perform. And I think if you're a baseball fan, even just a sports fan, you can learn a lot by watching these two teams, the Astros at home and the Nationals, who are the road team. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that with Rick Bassetti. That'll be coming up in just a couple of minutes. We're going to go on ahead and get ready to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Rick. He hadn't called in yet, right? He's probably on his way home. It's okay, Rick, if you're listening. We'll wait for you. We'll be here till 7. We'll talk to Rick Bassetti. And then a little bit later on, we're going to hear from J.C. Hunsaker, head coach of Shasta High School football, as we preview our game of the week Friday night, which is the River Bowl in high school football. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings with the sports guy, yours truly, Brent Weber, back in a minute.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Game of the week. Need I say more?
Teach me something new, man. I need to learn. Teach me something.
I love it, man.
What this you got is from, something to write with? Good. It's time to work on your interviews.
My interviews?
From Bull Durham.
What do I
got
to do?
You're going to have to learn your cliches.
My favorite.
You're going to have to study them. You're going to have to know them. They're your friends. Write this down. We got to play them one day at a time.
One day at a time. There's one.
It's pretty boring.
Of course it's boring. That's the point. Write it down.
By the way, Kotze knows what I was saying.
All right. I'm just happy to be here.
Happy to be here. That's two.
Hope I can help, the,
I can
ball
help
club.
The ball club.
I know. Write it down. I just want to give it.
I just want to give it
my best,
shot. That's four cliches.
And the good Lord,
the good
willing,
Lord willing,
things will work
things
out.
Things will work out.
Good Lord willing,
things will work out. Yep.
That is one of the classics from Bull Durham. Hey, if later on do we have the just a bit outside one from I don't know if I sent you that one or not. Well, it's just a bit outside from Major League, nothing from Major League. That's my other favorite one. The Astros, Nationals in Game 2, still playing. It's tied at 2. Nothing to see there. We'll keep you updated if you want to listen in. Later on, we're going to hear a little bit from Draymond Green from practice today. And if time allows, we'll hear from Stevie Kerr, little Stevie Kerr. Wow, what a great coach he is, actually. And as the Warriors get set to christen the Chase Center tomorrow night in San Francisco, their new building, it should be something special. Last night, the NBA season did indeed open with two games. Toronto rallied to beat New Orleans, and the Clippers entered the Kawhi Leonard era by just holding their foot down on the Lakers, winning that one 112-102. The Warriors, as I said, they'll open up tomorrow. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Talking baseball right now, World Series time. We were talking a little bit about managers a few minutes ago. And one of them we talked about, as mentioned, who's going to take that Giants job. I wish they'd dust off Dusty. Dusty Baker, one of my favorite people of all time. He was a manager. He was the first manager, coach, and I was a young sportscaster. And remember, I grew up in Atlanta, and Dusty was acquired, or Dusty came up with the Braves and was touted as the next Hank Aaron. And I remember years later, I interviewed him when I was with CNN. If I had this interview, I'd play it for you. But years later, I interviewed him, and we were just talking. This was when they were, I think the baseball was really giving some tribute to Jackie Robinson, and it was at a time when that was going on. And anyway, Dusty was the first. He said, man, could you imagine the best thing ever happened to him was to get out of Atlanta and get to L.A. with the Dodgers, where he had – because he was a SoCal guy, or, you know, a Cali guy, you know. He was too laid back, and to get into the deep racist South where I was growing up was rough. So, hey, Rick Bassetti, who's no rest for the weary ever – retirement for you means just helping somebody else out or doing something at the ballpark. But thanks for calling in, because it's World Series time, man.
It is, and I have the game on in the clubhouse. So next year we're going to have to do a special night, like we'll auction off a dinner, World Series night in the clubhouse, the Colt 45's clubhouse.
Oh, that'd be great. And maybe you
sell some raffle tickets for it or something like that and pull a drawing on the last night, you know.
Yeah.
And then people can have like a party for 10 people in here. We'll provide the dinner and the cocktails.
I like that. It's a good idea.
It'd be a fun night.
And maybe you'd make that special, what do you do with it, where you use the bat wood fire?
Oh, yeah. When I do my tri-tip, and yeah. I use the white ash and the broken white ash bats and maple bats to cook my tri-tip.
I love that. That's
yeah. Well, tonight we have the Dignity Health residents are down here. There's about 50 or 60 of them going to be here, and they're playing kickball out on the field and have their families down here and having fun, Brent.
Oh, that's great. And I love to see that as much has been done to make that park such a pretty, more enjoyable spot. I'm glad to see that the public's using it more, and it may mean you as the steward of Tiger Field have to do a little more work, but I think it's good for Reading in general.
Well, and it's just good for the soul. I enjoy it. We actually had people come down and play tennis last week. I had a family come out here, husband, wife, and three little girls, and that was nice to be able to let them go out there. We haven't had a transient sleep in the park for, it'll be a year, November 15th.
Wow.
So
that's good.
About a month away.
Well, I want to ask you a couple things about the Colt 45s and what you guys are planning next year. But first, I want to talk baseball, because that's the best thing. World Series time. Now, you, in your career, for those who don't know you, of course, went to Anderson High School, Shasta College, lifetime Shasta County resident, I guess we'd have to say. And you got into a couple playoff games in your career.
I did with the Oakland A's, and watched from the bench with the Philadelphia Phillies get swept by the Big Red Machine.
Wow. And Bill Plummer was on the other side.
Bill Plummer was over on the other side. I was not on the roster, but, you know, they let the booger noses put the uniforms on, sit on the bench, and watch. And so, but they went through us like a hot knife through butter.
At 1976, right?
Something big time.
That Philadelphia team.
And then
was
we
one
played
the
Yankees in 81, and we got swept in three by the Yankees. So, but I'm a career 250 hitter with a double off the wall and a run scored, and you know, that sort of thing in my postseason.
It's, I mean, I think that, that, you know, in the big picture, that look at. So you got the you played a little defense, right, in the 80 in the in the series against Kansas City, right?
Yep.
And
yep,
then you got your knocks. Now, who did you get the double off?
Rudy May. Remember that name?
Yeah, sure.
Rudy May, left-handed. He was the game two starter for the Yankees. Actually, it was the irony was he tried to come in on the hands with a slider, and I pulled my hands through, and I hit a line drive down left field line. There were people who said that I hit the chalk, you know, and I was standing on second with a double, and Billy was out there doing one of his arguing, you know, because this was like the top of the second, and it was a 0-0 ball game at that point, and they said no, and had to come back, and so then on the next pitch he tried to backdoor me with the same slider, and I hit a ball about 6 inches from being a home run. Reggie went back, you know, that short wall in right field.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie jumped up and hits off the top of the wall, and I had a double there.
Well, see, there, so, yeah, the baseball gods are shining on you there.
Yeah, that day. That two day. Pitches, two doubles. Well, only got to put one in the book, so.
And you mentioned, you know, one of the great legends of, well, of, certainly of your playing era, but I think of all time, Billy Martin. And, what was it like playing for that guy?
Well, I'll tell you what. It was pedal to the metal every game with Billy Martin. He was a genius when it came to managing the games because he knew, you know, the biggest thing about a manager is knowing how your players are going to respond to when you put something on to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing how your pitchers are going to react when they come into games and stuff like that. He was a great motivator. Probably his motivation techniques probably wouldn't go over too well with the millennial kids today, but it worked with us. If you notice, Billy would always only be with the team for about 3 years, maybe four, and then he'd be moving on because you're always running about at the red line on the RPM meter. You know, you were just always running full speed. And Billy did always do better with veteran teams.
Yeah.
You know, than a lot of the young kids. But he was a genius. I watched him do stuff out on the field and put on plays when you wouldn't think that certain plays would work, and they worked flawlessly. And it was before, you know, he had all of the sabermetrics crap up in his head.
Yeah.
He knew what guys could hit what guys. He knew where to put guys in the outfield to play against what guys, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that.
And so, you know, that's what the old vets and that's what the old coaches on the bench were for. And now, you know, you have your books and you pull out your laptops and your Surface, whatever, you know, and you sit there on the bench and you watch all that stuff. And
your GM texts you during the game, right? How would you like that? Your GM texts you during the game?
I'm not sure how much I would like that in a game, you know, myself. You know, we used to have every series there was you'd have a pre-series meeting, and you had the center fielder, shortstop, the catcher, and the pitching coach. And then the bench coach. And you'd sit there and you'd go through, here's how we're going to pitch their lineups. Okay. And they had, you know, your scouts that watched the guys. You had scouts that were watching the other one. So when you come into town, they go, hey, so-and-so's been swinging the bat good. This guy isn't. This guy's been hitting off-speed. He's been doing this with the off-speed pitches. So shade him this way in the outfield or shade him that way. You know, that kind of stuff. And everything worked great, Brent, as long as pitchers hit their spots.
Yeah, that's easy.
Just when they made the mistake and left something out over the plate or something creeped back in, you know, or, you know, a guy's strength is up and away and the guy pulls one across up and away and you're leaning to the right, he's hitting it to the left. So.
Watching this World Series, in fact, I see that people see that when you say throw the statistics out, that's what they don't understand about there are no throwaway at-bats in the big leagues, in the World Series, in the playoffs. There are, there are, you can't afford learning at-bats. I see people say, oh, Kershaw, well, he's a terrible postseason pitcher. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, every at-bat is you're getting the best of the best, and the level you make mistakes,
right.
And we saw that last night. You make mistakes, and they're home runs.
You make a mistake out over the plate, someone's going to spank you. I mean, Strasburg, he hung a changeup in the first inning, you know, to Bregman, and what, he hit it 415 feet,
yep.
Something like that. So, you know, that's just what happens. And, you know, it's just, if a pitcher could make his pitch every time,
mm-hmm.
Right? If he could make his pitch every time, hitters wouldn't be able to hit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just a fact. Hitters hit mistakes.
Yeah.
Now, there is a low percentage of time, and I can think back in my career, and I wasn't an outstanding. I mean, I hit 250 for a career. But I can remember back a pitcher making an absolute nasty pitch on me, right? And I don't know, the gods were smiling or whatever, and I just put the right swing on it, and bam, hit a line drive, you know, and get a base hit. But that was like the 15% of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time, your hits came off of something left over the middle third, you know.
Yeah.
Or you're sitting dead looking for a pitch out in that certain area, and he gives it to you, and then you spank it.
Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, if a pitcher makes their pitch to the location that they're wanting to go, you usually don't get the big part of the bat on it. You might hit it, but it might not be a bullet someplace. It might be a jam shot. It might be a pop-up. It might be a ground ball or something like that.
We're talking to Rick Bassetti, GM, of course, of the nonprofit Colt 45s, who are just a gem, and I am biased of Redding and Shasta County. Rick, if you can just stay through the break.
The voice of the Colt 45s. I hope you're biased a little bit.
I am. I absolutely have. That is the most fun I've had probably
in a while.
As ever. Yeah.
Hey, well, we're working on a series with the Australian Black Team coming up. They're going to be touring the West Coast, and we're trying to work out a series with them. It'll be middle third week in July if we can get it worked out. So we're doing everything we can to accommodate their scheduling and everything, and we really want to promote it. I think it'd be good for the game, be good for Reading. People get a chance to see baseball in its international flavor. I think that'd be a cool thing.
Can you just – I won't keep you too long, but I got to take a break. I want to talk about those other things with Colt 45 just for a couple of minutes. Can you stick around for just a couple more minutes?
Okay, I'm going to put you on speakerphone and watch the game.
Do it. I'm going to do that during the break too. All right, we'll send it to a break, and we'll come back to talk to Rick Bassetti because I want to ask him about his managers because he had some great ones, and then I want to find out what the Colt 45s have in store for the season ahead. And I know it's a little ways away, but we want to find out more about that. All right, so you're listening to Scorecard Scribblings. Back with Rick Bassetti in a minute.
So what's Scorecard Scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey, Evelyn. Can I ask you a question? You got a moment?
Mm-hmm.
Which team do you play for?
Well, I'm a peach.
Well, I was just wondering, because I couldn't figure out who'd throw home when we've got a two-run lead. You let the tying run get on second, and we lost the lead because of you. Now you start using your head. Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying?
I'm
crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, we are. And we're playing it on the radio right now.
Tom Hanks.
Back with Rick Bassetti. Tom Hanks. And who played? Who cried?
Yeah.
Was it?
Ooh, are you crying?
Yeah. Is that the classic or what? Rick Bassetti joining us. And, I thought it was perfect when we were talking about the millennial player and how sensitive they are. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how
those
well.
Those ladies in the League of Their Own were tougher than our kids that we have today.
Absolutely.
You know,
I think wasn't his character loosely based on Mel Ott or, you know, somebody that was,
I don't know. It was someone who ran that team. I mean, it was a name.
It was like an old timer, yeah, and maybe had a problem with the bottle, and it was like
sure.
A last chance for him. And
there are a lot of people that had problems with the bottle.
Yeah, that was those were long train rides, weren't they, for those guys?
Yeah, they were. Bus rides, train rides, whatever rides.
We're talking with Rick Bassetti.
Exactly.
Before we move on to the luxury of being a Colt 45, which I mean that in a positive sense, the great experience that these players have, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the managers you learned from and the managers we're seeing today, because I'm guessing it was Danny Ozark when you came up, and maybe was Red Shandy still in St. Louis?
Yeah, he was a coach in St. Louis.
Okay.
And we had a guy by the name of Vern Rapp.
Vern Rapp, that's right.
Yeah, and but, you know, the bench coaches are the guys that worked with you a lot. Bobby Wine,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Ruben Amaro, who I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
he was actually coaching when I got to the Phillies. You had, what was his name? Billy DeMars was the third base coach.
A couple of those guys.
They were all like 50s generations guys, 50s, 60s guys.
Were some of those guys with Bobby Cox in that era?
I was early 70s, so these guys were only out of the game 10, 11 years and they're coaching in the big leagues after putting in probably 10 years in the minor leagues.
Right.
And so everyone really appreciated the game. Everyone worked really hard. Money really wasn't, you know, I mean, when I got to the big leagues, the minimum salary was $19,000 a year.
Wow.
Now it's $600,000 a year, yeah. You know. And so it was just, you know, it wasn't about the money so much as, hey, I'm there now. Mm-hmm. And I want to stay. And what do I got to do to stay? And I listen to some of these kids, and, you know, you've been in our clubhouse here, and these kids talk about, you think they're going to get drafted. Well, I wouldn't go if they didn't. If they didn't give me at least $1.5 million, I'm not going to sign. And I'm sitting there looking at, I got $1,500 and a plane ticket to Florida, you know. Mm-hmm. But I got my chance to go play professional. And I knew that at that time, within 3 years, I would know, am I going to be playing or am I not going to be playing? And, you know, they were going to pay for the rest of my college stuff. So that was covered. And I go, okay, let's go find out if I can play baseball. You don't make your money on your signing bonus.
Right.
You make your money if you play and you get to the big leagues. That's where you're going to make money, if that's what you're about. But I remember when I was playing, Pete Rose was quoted in Sports Illustrated saying, I love this game so much, I'd play for free if they just paid all my bills. Now, I don't know if he was talking about his gambling bills, too. But,
he needed somebody to pay his bills, unfortunately, Pete.
Exactly. So, but, I mean, you know, that was kind of the attitude. And you didn't have a lot of the, you know, the big money guys when I played. You know, I think when he went over to the Yankees after Charlie Finley sold him over there.
Right.
I think he was making like $1 million a year. Reggie was getting $1 million, you know. When he sold off all those A's from the swinging A's days,
mm-hmm.
you know, those guys all went off someplace and made money. They never made money for the open A's.
Yeah.
But that was big money. When I got called up in 76, Steve Carlton was the highest paid guy on the Phillies at the time at $325.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
One of the great players of all time.
Now that's half of the minimum salary right now.
Right.
And you're talking about a guy that when he retired, he was the all-time strikeout leader for left-handers.
Devastating.
And in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, no doubt.
And a guy that won 27 games in 73, he won 27 games for a team that only won 59. Right? Figure that one out. How do you go out and win 20? He was like 20, and, you know, they talk about dominant pitching years,
right.
And they talk about guys that have these fantastic, you know, like Guidry in 78, you know, and with the Yankees, I mean, right? Well, but they were world champions. He played on a great team, and he won 24 games. Here's a guy who won 27 games for a team that only won 59 the whole year.
And they were expected to throw a couple of hundred innings, too.
Oh, Lefty was a 250 to 300 innings guy every year. Once he got the ball, there's no reason. I watched him one night. We were playing, and he was going down the stretch. You know, we hadn't clinched yet in 76. And Ozark started to walk out to the mound, and Lefty stood on the mound and just stared at him. Danny stopped at the line, and Lefty just pointed back at the dugout. And Danny turned around and came back to the dugout. He goes, I got this. Don't worry about it.
I love it.
So, you know, you don't see that today.
No.
You know, I mean, maybe, sir.
Right.
You know, there's some guys out there like that have that heart still. They have that competitiveness. I think Verlander might be something like that as well, you know. But some of these guys, I mean, you had to go out there with a jackhammer to take them out of the game because they were not leaving that mound.
Well, and, you know, we talked about this earlier, you and I did today, about relief pitching has become a scheduled event now in the major leagues, whereas before guys had to be pretty much ready to go every day.
Yeah, most of your relief pitchers when I was playing were starters that couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got, or guys got hurt and they were only good for two or three innings. You didn't have a long guy was a three inning guy. That was a long guy.
Right.
And he would be expected to go three innings twice a week if he had to. And, you know, if the team's playing really well, there are a lot of times he doesn't because, you know, like Longborg and you had, Dick Ruthven and Steve Carlton, and you had guys going out there on the mound, Larry Christensen, they were going to go out and give you 6-7 innings.
Yep.
Well, and then you go to Tug McGraw and Gene Garber, and those would be your guys get your last two innings. And so you didn't, you know, you might have a week where you didn't touch your long guys. Yeah. And so, but now everyone's all scheduled because guys can only go this long because they don't want anyone to get hurt and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, game changes in some ways, but you still got to run 90 feet. You still got to throw the ball 60 feet, 6 inches. You still got to swing the bat that's no more than 2¾ inch in diameter and hit a ball that's no more than 9 inches in circumference and, you know, that kind of stuff.
And those things equate perfectly.
So the game still stays the same.
Yeah. Which is what you guys are teaching out there, like the segue I did there. These things you're teaching, and I've been going through interviews with the players that we did during the year, and they all, not all of them, but many of the guys I talked to said it was just as much learning about how to be a next-level player, how to act professionally, how to act more maturely off the field or with approach seemed to be something that some of them hadn't ever thought about it, but they had grown in that area. That's something that you guys work on too.
Well, I think that's an aspect that I know that Bill Plummer can bring with his many, many years, you know, in professional baseball and myself is, you know, you got to respect the game and you got to understand the game. You can't just throw your glove out there and expect to win. And so we teach them how to look for patterns. We teach them how to hunt certain pitches in certain situations. Baseball, and teach them that baseball is a game of percentages. Pitchers are going to throw certain pitches in certain situations. And most of the time they're going to be dealing with their strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not pitching to your weakness here. Because they're only going to see you one, you know, we play everybody one series, two, you know, at the most. And so a guy's going to be doing that. So a lot of times, this is the first time we let the kids, you know, turn them loose. A lot of these kids, from the time they're in high school and then in college, their coaches are calling everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
They've even had some guys come here saying, well, my coach wouldn't let me swing until I got to this count. I go, what? I go, okay. Well, when you go back, you can do that. But right now, we want you to show that you know how to play the game and that you can swing in situations. And, you know, if you show us that you can't, then we'll go back to that. But we think that you can learn this aspect of the game. You know, it's like you watched, remember Andy Baena, right?
Mm-hmm.
Andy should have been able to steal any time he wanted to go.
Right.
And so, but he had to learn. He had to learn when to get the jump. He had to learn when a breaking ball situation was. You know, I remember looking in his eyes the first time. I said, Andy, I guarantee you, if you steal on a breaking ball every time, they will never throw you out. There isn't any catchers around here that are good enough to throw out a 6'3", 60 guy on a breaking ball. I mean, Ricky Henderson proved that.
Right.
You know, Lou Brock used to, he knew where his lead was. He knew how fast he was from his two or three different lead points on the field. And he would just combine the pitcher's time to the plate and the catcher from the time he touched it to throw to second. And Lou would go, okay, I need to get to my 3-1 lead spot. Or I can relax a little bit because these guys are real slow. I can back up to my 3-2 lead spot. And it was just a matter of time. It wasn't the guy. It wasn't having to get over there and stress and everything. He knew that when I go, I'm a 3-1 from this spot, and these two guys combined are a 3-2 or a 3-3. Now, 1/10 of a second doesn't seem like a whole lot, but what it is you're popping up at second and the guy's making the catch and tagging you on the thigh.
Yeah.
But it's obvious you're safe.
Right.
And so, but Andy did have to, I did have to tell him who Lou Brock was.
one of the great kids on that team, though, this summer. He was one of them.
We try. And so, you know, this year we're going to be doing an academy for kids. It's going to be an 8-week academy. It's going to be a Monday, Tuesday academy, 3 hours a day. Kids can sign up for all 8 weeks. There'll be a discount for that. And then, but there's going to be a 4-week minimum. We're not just going to be a babysitting service for people to drop their kids off for 1 week, you know, if they want to get rid of their kids.
Now, when are we
going to? But that'll all be going online here and shortly. So we'll be telling people about that.
That's exciting. And I think another thing in looking at the schedule, you've worked really hard to, you like to limit those road trips because that's not what guys are coming here to do. And also make sure you've got games scheduled on the weekends so people can count on. I know I'm going to have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday game.
You're going to have Wednesday through Sundays, 7 of the 8 weeks this year.
That's great.
9 weeks. So we'll have 40 home games and it'll be done in about 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 8.5 weeks, 9 weeks this year. So you'll have all of June and July, and then the first weekend in August and the last weekend in May.
It'll be here before you know it.
It'll be here.
Well, we still got the World Series to watch, so I'm turning you back over to the clubhouse to with the game still tied at two. So
all righty.
I know you've been watching it. Rick Bassetti, my friend, thank you so much for joining us. And the baseball stories, we barely tap them, but I appreciate your time.
At least the ones we can tell on the radio.
That's
all right. Thanks, Brent.
All right. Thanks so much.
You have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. And we'll let you know, too, when some of those things do indeed happen. We'll get the word out on that, on the camps, when they happen and when they'll begin registration and so on. You can check the ReadingColt45s.com website and the link to YouTube right now. You can see some interviews and other videos with the players. So there's a lot of stuff there, but we'll keep you posted as we are the home base for the Reading Colt 45s. I got to take a break. Jared's just giving up on me, and we'll be back in a minute.
Do you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Energy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents The Rocky Horror Show, its first production at their new theater at 2613 Bocelli Lane in Reading. This cult classic tells the musical tale of the newly engaged Brad and Janet, who get caught in a storm near the home of Dr. Frankenfurter and are in for a wild night of misadventure. The Rocky Horror Show, on stage at Axiom Repertory Theater October 17th through Halloween. Full audience participation is encouraged. Axiom's next stage is here, and it's here thanks to you. Tickets and information at axreptheater.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, "Our customers are warm friends." We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
Okay. Yep. I'm listening a little bit to Verlander pitching. Don't worry. Nothing to see. We'll keep you up to date. It's still a 2-2 game, too. Thanks for joining us on Scorecard Scribblings. It was fun talking to Rick Bassetti, who's just a great guy and a great part of this community. And there's so many terrific baseball stories. There are going to be a lot of fun things happen happening out at that ballpark. Anyway, because we got short time, I want to get to a couple of those interviews I mentioned. J.C. Hunsaker, our game of the week is going to be his Shasta High School Wolves visiting Enterprise, the Hornets, in the annual River Bowl. So I got a little bit of our pregame interview for you. Let's go to that now with J.C. Hunsaker. J.C. Hunsaker, head coach of Shasta, our game of the week. Need I say more than the River Bowl? Everybody knows about it, and everybody's going to be watching and listening.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for our community to provide this kind of environment for us to play a football game in. It's 364 days of bragging rights, whether you were the class of 42 or you're going to be the class of 2020. So there's a lot that rides on it. It's that pride game that you can just carry on with you. Even if you're having a down year, you win this game, you kind of salvage your season a little bit. So should be an exciting night for us. We're hoping that we can put a good product on the field Friday night.
Well, that is exactly what you have to be aware of, because I think your opponent, and they are at home, Enterprise is one of those schools that nobody expected them to be for the season right now, I don't think. And they are a wounded team, and if they respond in kind, it's one of those proverbial throw out the records.
Yeah, let's be honest. Enterprise's season, their schedule is a daunting schedule. You know, they played early on. They play West Valley. We all know what West Valley is doing. They've done it to all of us. Last and another great opponent on there. They went down to Highlands and played a game. You know, Sutter is another preseason schedule for them. Dude, they've had a schedule to play. So they're a team that I don't know if we've seen their potential yet, because it was such a tough schedule for them to get through. You know, you play your Chicos and your PVs, dude. It's those are some tough games to be in and win. And so I hope our kids understand that they are not an 0-7 ball club, and we should not prepare for an 0-7 ball club. We should prepare for we gotta be a good football team on Friday night. We know that it's Super Bowl. Let's hype this game up. Let's have some fun and go out there and play a physical brand of Wolfpack football.
That's Enterprise head coach, Shasta head coach, J.C. Hunsaker. And, of course, we'll talk to Enterprise's head coach, too. You'll hear more of that in our pregame for the broadcast, which will begin at 7:15 on Friday night here at KCNR. If you're out and about at another game, you can always pull it up on your browser at KCNR1460.com and listen to it live. I said I would hear a little basketball tomorrow night without Klay Thompson, who we're now told may not even be back this regular season with the Warriors as he recovers from an ACL injury. Without Kevin Looney, they will open up tomorrow night against the Clippers, who look like maybe suddenly one of the teams to beat, if not the team to beat out west. Some people will say, I still say it's the Warriors, but they will open up at the new Chase Center tomorrow night after practice today. We heard from Draymond Green. Let's listen into some of that.
I think from the beginning,
he's talking about defense right now.
That would be great. You know, we got a lot of improving to do. You know, I think there's kind of this misconception that defense just works. Like, defense is no different than offense. You get a rhythm, you get a chemistry going, you know, who you need to pull over and help a little more, who you don't need to help at all. Like, it's like if in a certain situation, if I'm guarding someone and I got them in a certain area, I don't want you to come help. It may look like I need help, but I know exactly what I'm doing in that position. I don't need your help. And if you come and help, it completely throws the defense off. It's like that on offense, right? If you get somebody the ball in the wrong spot, it's probably going to throw the offense off. And so figuring all of those things out, it takes time. And quite frankly, we just haven't had the time. So I think early on it'll be a little tougher. And, you know, as the year goes on, it'll get better and better. But we also, you know, have a ton of young guys as well who are learning how to play NBA defense as a whole, which, you know, slows the process down a little bit, but it is what it is. We'll continue to get better, and most importantly, we'll compete.
That is Draymond Green of the Warriors after today's practice. As they get set to open the season tomorrow, as I said, don't expect Looney to play. He's probably going to be out. I think he's got a banged up knee, I think. And he has a leg strain of some kind. And Thompson, that was a word today week from Steve Kerr, that if you just do the math, he doesn't expect he's not planning on Thompson being back with the team, although I think that's a way of just taking his recovery, putting it out of the sight of his team and saying, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Our game of the week is coming up Friday night, 7:15, the River Bowl. Yes, indeed, Enterprise, Shasta, pregame 7:15, kickoff at 7:30 here on KCNR. I'd like to thank Rick Bassetti and J.C. Hunsaker for joining me tonight and you for joining us on Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber. Have a great week.